comparing him with creatures. Like clothing, you change them, and they are changed. But you are the same. If there is one thing the Catechism of the Catholic Church is at pains to bring out, it is the fact that God alone cannot change, but we, as God's creatures, can and do change. So we ask ourselves, why then do we insist on God's unchangeableness? Hear it. Because, once more, as the present Holy Father makes such an issue of what we're talking about here, those who do not believe that the commandments of God are unchangeable, they are the ones who claim that the sins that for centuries have been outlawed, say by Christianity, but we've reached a stage or an age in human history where all this has changed. So what do we have now? This, I repeat, is the Holy Father's teaching. Is it any wonder that the God in whom so many now claim to believe is a changeable deity, whereas we who have the true faith hear it and ask our Lord to make it clear to you? The moral laws given to us by God are unchangeable. Why? Because God is unchangeable. We go on. Time and again, we read in the Scriptures that God is love. So we ask, how is God love? How is God not merely loving or lovable, but how is God love? And the answer is, God is love in himself and in his love for us. In himself, the Holy Trinity is the eternal exchange of love among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If I spent the rest of the retreat just on this subject, I will not be giving it too much time. Within the Holy Trinity, by the sheer necessity of the Trinity of persons in God, each one of the three persons, to use our human vocabulary, each one of the three persons shares with the others the fullness of His divine nature. So that God is love in Himself. How? Because the Holy Trinity is the eternal exchange of love among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We turn to ourselves. I mentioned earlier, though I spent the rest of the conferences during the retreat on this one subject, I would not be overdoing what is a basic mystery of our faith, namely, God is love, because everything which each of the three persons possesses, He shares with the other two. So what do we conclude? We conclude, therefore, that in the measure that we first ask God to enlighten us in what we have that we can share. Secondly, ask God to enlighten us over those whom we know, with whom we live, what they need. And then, insofar as we can, we share with others what God has so generously given to us. This, then, is our duty in life. Only one danger when I talk this language may sound either rhetorical or poetic, but is neither rhetoric nor poetry. What are we saying? We are to model our lives on the most holy Trinity, meaning what? Meaning that we ask God to let us know what we have that we can share, and if we don't have something that others need, hear it. We acquire, we go out of our way to acquire what someone else needs in order that I might be more and more like God in sharing with others. We go on. In loving us, the love of God is everlasting, merciful, and self-revealing in sending us His only Son and the Holy Spirit. What are we saying? We are saying that within the most holy Trinity, God shares completely each of the three persons everything which each person possesses. And again, God in loving us He loved us from all eternity. He brought us into existence, which he did not have to. And then he sent us his only Son and the Holy Spirit so that we might realize how good God has been to us and share what God has shared with us, share that with others. We go on. One of the implications of our faith in one God. Because of our faith in God, we know his greatness and majesty. We thank him for giving us everything we are and have. We know the unity and dignity of all people made in the image and likeness of God. We use creatures to bring us closer to God and remove creatures from our lives when they turn us away from God. And finally, we see and trust God in every circumstance of life, knowing there is no such thing as chance with God. You may wonder why the Catechism, page after page after page, about God, one attribute after another, spelled out at great length. Lengthy quotations from the fathers of the church, from the saints. You may think it was overdoing it, and having worked with the commission that put the catechism together, I can assure you, this is all very, very deliberate. And we got our directions regularly from the Holy Father. The single, comma, primary, comma, fundamental, comma, imperative truth of our faith, but to hear it, but not merely to memorize with our minds, but as far as we can understand it, is the nature of God. Millions of Catholics in our country have been seduced by the most weird kind of heresies. A simple catalog, over 100 pages thick, of publishers in the United States providing, you name them, the most exotic titles on the so-called New Age. Millions seduced. A Lenten series in Detroit given by a priest all on the New Age. In one religious education program after another, in nominally Catholic schools, same thing. And if there is one truth of the Catholic faith, of the New Age, not only ignores, but consciously rejects and opposes. It is the existence of the God that we've earlier described. My friends, in today's mad world, nobody is safe. Nobody is safe. When the bishop makes the front page of the Detroit Daily Papers encouraging homosexuality, we got problems. And the bottom line, I repeat, is that so many people have been satisfied with a first grade understanding of who God is. You cannot survive on that. Not in today's sophisticated world. And that is why, for the first time, I believe, in the history of the church, has the Universal Catechism been so detailed, so extensive, not merely repeating the truths we're supposed to believe, that too, but in explaining, going into depth. There is no way we can remain faithful to Jesus Christ, not in today's world, without using our minds, I would use the term, to the hilt. Because the enemies of Christ and His church are very intelligent, sophisticated people. All of this is locked up in what we hope to cover during this retreat. And we spent about 50 minutes in just touching the surface of the first article of the Apostles' Creed on who is God. Lord Jesus, we believe you are divine truth who became man. We believe the church you founded for 2,000 years has remained faithful to the truths that you revealed and entrusted to your church to preserve. My dear Savior, protect us from the folly of supposing we can remain faithful to you and not be seduced by the lies which the world is so eager to propagate in the minds and hearts of people. Give us, we beg you, the generosity of heart, to use our minds to grasp the meaning of who you are, so that understanding you here in this life, by faith, we may enjoy your eternal presence in the life to come, because we had believed and had made every human effort to understand what we believe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.